Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Well, good evening, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I am your entertainment co-host for this evening, Michael Kay, the lovely news lady. I gave her the night off. You know, she's been working really hard, and yeah, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But we have a great show for you tonight. It's been raining here all day, so I'm calling in via Skype. Should anything happen, don't panic. Don't change your dial. I'll dial right back in. But we've got a great show for you tonight. Rebecca Corey, comedian, is calling in. She, you've seen her on television on The King of Queens, The Bernie Mac Show, Yes Dear, of course, Last Comic Standing. She was a finalist, as well as movie work, including Yes Man and Big Fat Liar. She's working on a great cause. She's the founder of Stand Up for Pitts Foundation, and she's here to talk about the 1 million Pibble March in D.C. coming up. So before we do that, we're going to open with a little bit of music. Jackie D. Williams is launching his brand new album, Order of Discovery. It is available May 13th, and you can actually order it. You can pre-order it now on iTunes and Amazon.com. So this is Jackie D. Williams with the title track of that called Mountain of Gold. And when we get back, the very funny, the very lovely Rebecca Corey will be joining us. Don't go away.
Down.
Jackie D. Williams with Mountain of Gold. Go ahead and pre-order his album at JackieDWilliams.com. Joining us now is the delightfully funny, the short little spitfire, the beauty that I cannot even praise more, Miss Rebecca Corey, darling. How are you, Rebecca?
I'm good. How are you? That's quite a quite an introduction.
I tried to zhuzh it up as much as I could.
Well, you gave it a shot. I gave it a shot.
You're funny lady, I should have just said. How's that?
Oh, that's fine. not always. I mean, especially when it comes to this cause, I wish it were more funny. But it's not. It's a bummer.
No, I know. Before we go ahead and talk about that, I want to get to know you a little bit better. You're born in Kent, Washington, or as you like to call it, the El Camino driving, hot dog, water-loving, one-tooth pregnant teen capital of the world. I lived in Seattle for a hot second, and quite frankly, I have to say you're bang on with that description.
Wait, are you familiar with Kent? Do you know Kent?
I've been to Kent maybe four or five times. That's about it.
Yeah, and how was it for you?
You know, it was definitely a delightful suburb, and I was happy to get back home. We were living on Lake Washington, so I was happy to get back to kind of the half-assed city. So I was living there actually at the time that I think Bill Gates was building his house. So that was the most thrilling thing in Washington at that point.
His house is insane.
Yeah, it's just a vulgar display of wealth. How did you enjoy living in Kent?
Oh, I didn't. I like immediately. I mean, from the time I think I was like 5 years old, 6 years old, kindergarten, I was like, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And I did my time, and then as soon as I turned 18, I was out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I moved to Chicago. I lived in Chicago for 10 years.
Yeah, and you actually studied acting and improv at Second City, which is that's a baptism by fire area there.
Yeah, it really was. I was there at a really cool time. I never got hired to be a performer on any of the stages, which I really wanted to do. But I mean, at the time, it was like Steve Carell, Steve Colbert, Amy Sedaris, Mitch Rouse. You know, Nina Vardalos, Chris Farley, all those guys, you know, Tina Fey, they were all there on the main stage when I was a student. And so it was a really cool time to be in Chicago, a really cool time to be a student at Second City and to be able to watch those guys work. You know, it was really, really cool. Really, I wouldn't change that experience for anything. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and a few of those went on to actually become something.
Yeah, I think a few of them are doing okay. They're doing okay.
A few of them we can hit up for money, that's for damn sure. Let's talk about movies versus television. I you know what, I have to say, it's just such a coincidence because I watched Big Fat Liar 4 days ago. And quite frankly, I didn't know that was you in it until I got the research on it. And I have to tell you, that was a bad movie. But you were great in it. How's that?
Well, that's a very weird thing to say to a guest, but I'll take it, I guess. it's a kid movie, so maybe you're not big into kid movies. I don't know. Why were you watching Big Fat Liar is really the question.
The question is easily answered. I couldn't find the remote. So it was set on HBO, and I didn't feel like getting off the sofa to find it. So I thought, well, just go ahead and see what this is. So it was worth it.
Disagree with you. I think it's a great kid movie, and it was Paul Giamatti's first leading role in a movie, and I played his secretary, and it was very cute for what it was, and what it was is a kid's movie. So we're going to have to agree to disagree right off the bat.
Absolutely. Off to a great start.
Okay. Great, yeah.
Absolutely. You also did Comedy Central, The Roast of Joan Rivers, and that was absolutely hilarious. It was roasts are always challenging for me to watch because I always feel so embarrassed for the one being roasted. But what was it like roasting someone of the likes of Joan Rivers?
I was there and I did the red carpet, but I didn't roast Joan Rivers. So I don't know where you got that.
Oh, it was on the IMDb.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, no, I was there. I attended. Yeah, and maybe they put me. I don't know. That's weird. But I didn't just roast Joan Rivers. I I too sometimes feel comfortable with those. I think that some of the Comedy Central roasts, they're pretty brutal. They're pretty harsh on the people. But most recently, what I did do for Comedy Central, I did a half-hour Comedy Central special. And before that, I did Premium Blend. And that was a, you know, obviously no roasting involved there, but that was a really great experience to shoot a half-hour special for Comedy Central. And then I just recently did shot a pilot produced by Ellen for NBC 2 weeks ago before I flew out to D.C.
Oh, wow.
We'll see what happens.
Was that One Big Happy, or that's coming up?
It is. It is.
Yeah.
It's called One Big Happy, and I believe it's being, you know, tested with audiences and going through the motions, and I think that we'll find out probably in the next week or two.
Fantastic. Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Last comic standing, I watched you in the whole season there, and I think that's when I really fell in love with your brand of humor. And
you saw that. You watched that season?
I watched that season. I watch every season. I like to laugh and stuff like that, but the season was great. That was the season that Josh Blue won, which, you know, frankly.
Yes.
What
do you think of Josh Blue?
You know what? I loved him. I loved the way that he used his cerebral palsy to play into the comedy. And I laughed. I laughed at a lot of them. I really did. But you made it quite far as a finalist.
Yeah, I did. I did. It was. You know what? I'm really lucky. I was on a season with really fun, really great comedians too. Like, I love Ty Barnett and Chris Porter and Josh Blue. I mean, if you ever get a chance to go see Josh Blue live, he's super funny. He's a really, really, he's still doing incredibly well. He's like booked out, you know, years in advance. He does really well, but he's really funny. And they were all just really nice. He's like Bill Dwyer, like all those guys, they were great.
Yeah.
It was really fun. That was a fun experience.
It was a fantastic season. Still doing stand-up and that leads us to the founder for Stand Up for Pitts Foundation. Before we start this, how incensed were you at Michael Vick's participation and his intolerable cruelty to pit bulls?
It goes without saying. I mean, I'm incensed at anyone's behavior. His went on for so many years, for so long, and the cruelty that went on there, the things he did, you know, he was convicted. It's conflicting. I keep hearing he was either convicted of murdering six. He had to explain how he murdered them. And, it's beyond comprehension. It is absolutely textbook sociopathic behavior. I mean, you have to have something missing in you to be at that level of cruelty. And I the only good thing that came out of Michael Vick in that situation is the fact that, you know, people learned about dogfighting. You know, the bad news is, and one of the reasons why I'm marching on Washington and advocate so strongly against dogfighting is because, sadly, dogfighting is bigger now than ever before. And a lot of people don't know that. They think that it went away when Michael Vick got caught, like he was the only guy doing it. And sadly, it's everywhere, all the time, all ages, all communities, all ethnicities. They're fighting them in trunks of cars, in U-Hauls, in basements, on dog trails. In some cities, in the middle of the street, they're letting them on fire and betting on them to see which ones, you know, live longer. I mean, it is a big, massive, disturbing problem, one of which I think is not only an animal issue, but we've got a severe human problem here, a very broken society of young people, because the average age dogfighter is like 13 to 21 years old, and they're by the thousands and thousands, and it's been proven over and over and over and over by our own government studies say that a person who can abuse an animal, the likely, and most oftentimes does, go on to commit crimes against humans. And it's a problem that needs to be taken real serious, real quick.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying to raise awareness about it. So to answer your Michael Vick question, I mean, incensed, sickened, and I still am.
Yeah.
I still am.
Yeah, a lot of us are, and in all the pictures, especially on Twitter and Facebook, of all the abuse and everything, it just it makes me physically ill. But talk about a little bit how you found your dog Angel, your little honey there.
Aw, sweet Angel. Well, almost 6 years ago, July 9th, I adopted her. I had a Dogo Argentino, which is like a big mastiff type dog named Walter, and he suddenly passed away from kidney failure, and it was devastating. I lost him at only 4 years old. I rescued him at 10 months from the pound, and he just suddenly got ill and passed away, and it was a horrible situation, a horrible experience, and I decided never going to own a dog again. Can't go through that pain. So I thought, you know what I can do, though, is I can foster, because fostering is such a vital, important, you know, it's just a vital part of rescue, because it buys these dogs time, which the shelters can't give them. You know, that's why we kill right. 6 million a year in this country. So if you can foster, I always tell people, foster. You know, you don't have to make the commitment, but at least you're buying them time, which is all they really need. So I decided, I went on petfinder.com, and I was looking for dogs to foster. And I had heard about another dog, and he'd already been placed. And then they told me about Angel, and someone had dumped battery acid on her back and had cut her ears off with either scissors or razor blades. But horrible, 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 horrible. And she had been pulled from the rescue or pulled from the shelter, the South LA shelter, which is a very high kill shelter. And you had her in foster care for about 18 months. And at that time, she blew out one of her knees. And so they got her knee replaced and she needed somewhere to heal. And I was like, great, I'm perfect. Perfect for that. I can foster her. I'm not going to take her, but I'll foster her, let her heal. All good. So they brought her over and met her, whatever. 3 weeks later, I was like, are you joking? She is, it's what you call, it's, I believe, I think it's a foster failure. I was so madly in love with her. I was like, her energy just, she's like so, she's been literally through hell for years of only known abuse and just is like this walking little velvet Buddha. Like, she's so zen. She's so she's the opposite energy of me. Like, I'm always telling people, like, you don't need to worry, you don't need to be scared of my dog, you need to be scared of me. She's magnificent, and she's a true ambassador, and just like a, you know, she's living proof, as so many millions of them are, that they are born inherently good. You know, I'm just so blessed and so lucky that she came into my life, because she literally changed everything. And for 6 years, I basically, because immediately after adopting her, I learned, because I had no idea what people thought about pit bulls. I don't know how that's possible, but I didn't. But I immediately learned right away, walking down the street with a pit bull, getting called names and people running from her, and why would you have that? And she don't take kill babies. And I heard every myth, like, don't their jaws lock and don't their brains keep growing and like crazy. And I was like, what? What do you mean? What? So anyways, I decided to educate myself. So I did for 6 years and I still do. I have a lot more to learn. We all do. And I immediately, you know, at that point, I was just like, wow, with what I know, the dog fighting epidemic, and then you go into breed specific legislation where it's basically discrimination enshrined in law. And you're kind of like, wow, who would I be to not do something? Like, what would that say about me as a human and as a member of society and as a person who lives in a community? Who would I be to do nothing when it's not okay? So that started everything, and it's been insane ever since. I mean, for the last 5 years doing Stand Up for Pits, the live event, that we started out doing it in two cities. I started doing LA, and I did Hollywood, the Hollywood Improv, and then I did it in Seattle. And now, you know, 3.5-4 years later, I'm now doing 7 cities, and the goal is to do, and I became a foundation, and the goal is to have one in every single city in this country. And obviously the march is something that developed. I've dedicated a year of my life to organizing.
Yeah, so it's it sounds like an incredible undertaking with the goal of the 1 million. I think you have over 5,000 now registered for attending. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of, absolutely. Yeah, you've done your homework. It's kind of crazy. I I went on this, you know, it's very difficult when you're doing a march and a rally on Washington and it's a national movement, you know, it's actually turned into an international movement. I've heard that there's people from Germany and Canada, England attending. Yeah, it's crazy. And there's a, I heard that there's people, there's a march happening in I want to say Puerto Rico, in San Juan, Puerto Rico, for the same, in solidarity. And also in other cities around the country, people are doing it. They're doing one, a march on the same day in Canada as well. It's really been a tremendous thing to see. Yeah, it's pretty crazy, but it also shows that, like, people are pretty sick and tired of what's going on. And, you know, pit bulls are just the target of it. You don't ban the victim. You know, you don't throw away the victim. You got to get to the problem and fix this. And a lot of
No, absolutely. No, absolutely. And I think it's very good to have Obama on your side as well, because he's a strong advocate as well. But the 1 million Pibble March will actually be on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. on May 3rd from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. I found it interesting that you didn't want dogs there, but it makes total sense when you actually really think about it.
Yeah. I mean, this is an opportunity. The entire point of the event is it's an opportunity, a national platform for us to be their voice, you know, to educate and advocate and inspire change. Having dogs there is just, it's redundant, it's useless, and it's putting dogs in stressful situations. You know, you don't bring a dog to a Bruce Springsteen concert for a reason.
Yeah,
because
no.
You just don't need it, and we don't need to have stressed out dogs at an event that's trying to help them. It's just ignorant. And I made that decision early on. It hasn't been popular with some, but it's not their choice because it's a private permitted event, and it's handled and taken care of, you know, the way it should be. And I'm doing what's best, I think, for the cause and for all the advocates that are attending who understand why we're all gathering there to begin with. But, yeah. Quite an undertaking, and online on the causes page where you sign up to attend, I think it's like almost 5,600 or I don't know, nearing 6,000 have actually signed up to say they're going to attend. But then you go on Facebook, and there's almost close to, you know, between Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, there's over 40,000 supporters. So
fantastic.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, people have been asking me that nonstop. What are you expecting? I'm like, I don't know, anywhere between 500,000 and 50,000.
If you want to learn more about the 1 million Pibble March, go to standupforpits.us, and you can also go ahead and click on she's got a crowdfunding effort, so you can go ahead and donate money there as well. You got some great speakers lined up, too, for the event.
Oh, yeah, super, super excited about it. We have, Chris Williams is hosting, which I'm thrilled about. Chris Way, Vanessa Williams' brother, he's been on, Curb Your Enthusiasm. Do you remember that? Crazy Eyes?
I did, and I also saw you got his kitchen redone on whatever kitchen redo show Vanessa surprised
no
me for the town. Yeah, it was a very good
serious?
Redo. Yeah, Kitchen Crashers or whatever the hell it was. It was it was a great. They put in this great big glass garage door. So when he opened up the one wall of his kitchen, it was open to his little pied a terre there with his. It was a great kitchen remodel. That's for sure.
That's insane. I didn't. I'm gonna have to give him some crap about that. I didn't know that he got a kitchen redo.
Free.
How do you get that? How do you get
that? Vanessa wrote into the show. I can't remember what the hell show it was and stuff like that. It was either Kitchen Cousins or Kitchen Brothers or whatever the hell it was. But and he was out of town doing something, so she thought to surprise him because basically, I guess, well, when they showed the before, the kitchen looked like shit. I mean, the oven door was broken, the cupboards were hanging off, and everything like that. So the kitchen needed to be done. But they did a hell of a good job. It was a fantastic show. But I don't want to get you off track here.
Oh yeah. Anyways, we're talking about kitchen redos now. We went from the Pibble March to kitchen redos. Well, he's a wonderful. I'll tell you what, that guy's a really good guy, and he's flying out on Friday. He's going to host it, so that's cool. And then we have Rue Yori, who you know, he was a dad, or, you know, of the late great Wallace, which is a, I believe is a New York Times bestselling book that was written about Wallace. And he also owns Hector, one of Michael Vick's fighting dogs. And then there's Leah Brewer, who owns Ellie, the hero dog. It was the hero dog last year, the HAA hero dog. You know, she did the Today Show and all this stuff. So that was really cool for Piss. And so she's going to speak. And then we have John Rallo. That guy, he's an ex-MMA pro fighter, and he means business. He doesn't mince words. So I'm super excited to hear what he has to say. He is no joke. And then we have Jamie Burley, too, which is awesome. Her husband is the pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays, Mark Burley. And he, breed-specific legislation has actually forced them to live in separate cities because of their pit bulls. So they commute.
Wow, really?
Yeah, because there's a ban on pit bulls in Toronto, so he can't, his family can't be there, and he's like, I'm not separating my family, and they've gotten national exposure about this battle for over, you know, 3-4 years now, so they commute because of it, and she's speaking. I'm really excited to hear what she's great, and then we have a girl named Stephanie Doris, who is a very young girl, rescued a 9-year-old pit bull who was just horrific abuse for 9 years and basically thrown away, and she saved her life, and she's got a great following on Twitter called, her name's Nana. This dog is amazing. Looks like a little hippo, a little velvet hippo. That's what I call my dog too. so yeah, I mean, some really, you know, there's going to be some really good speakers that, you know, are going to talk about different aspects of, because the march is primarily about, you know, it really is just dog fighting and BSL. That's what we're focusing on. I'm fully aware that we have issues with spay and neuter and puppy mills and all. I get that the whole spectrum of animal abuse. I get it. But for this specific day, for this specific rally, for this specific march, it is about, its focus is ending abuse and discrimination. And hopefully by doing so, you know, we can, you know, inspire change and create safe and humane communities for humans and pets, because that's the goal. You know, we got to be better than this.
Absolutely, I agree. And you know what? The funny thing is, too. I mean, I am familiar with the bad rep pit bulls get, but I have at least 7 friends that I can think of off the top of my head that have pit bulls or that have bull mastiffs and stuff like that. And I've never met one that was anything less than a sweetheart. So I do think to blame is the owner and the upbringing. And I think if you go ahead and abuse any pet, they're going to turn around and bite your ass off anyways. So it's just one of those things that I'm so proud of you to increase the awareness of it, because it's the breed is actually so built for pleasure. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Velvet hippo is just very accurate.
I know. No, I, you know what? I've never heard anyone say that like you just did. That's pretty incredible. They're built for pleasure. That's a fantastic line. I don't mind if I do use that in the future. And they are. You're so right. It's like they're, you know, for the most part, they're. I know some of them can be really rambunctious and hyper, and they're strong and they're fast, and they're, you know, like some of my friends have the young ones. They're just like zipping around. They're maniacs. They're like little. Yeah. They're like little clowns. But for the most part, like the older ones, what I found is they don't like the heat, they don't like the cold, they don't like the rain, they don't like to be hungry, they don't like to be tired. So they're happiest when they're full, and like in bed or on a couch.
When they climb on top of you and put that big fat face into the crook of your neck. Now that is happiness, man. I agree.
You know what? You are not wrong. That is really amazing. They are so fantastic, and they are born inherently good. It is human beings that we need to fear, not these
guys. Exactly right. Exactly right. The 1 million Pibble March, once again, it will be starting on the west lawn of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. on May 3rd from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Go to standupforpits.us, click on the 1 million Pibble March button, and join up, sign up, or go ahead and donate. I'm so happy to meet you, Rebecca, and I'm so happy you're doing this, because I've been wanting to do a show on pit bulls for so long with a positive spin. not to actually do a show about a pit bull biting the head off some 4-year-old kid who was pulling his tail and stuff. You know what I mean? So this is a better way to bring awareness, and whatever At Home with Victoria can do for you, please keep this in mind, and feel free to come back anytime. And just to make up for my comments on Big Fat Liar, I'm going to go out and buy a few copies of it, and hopefully you'll get some royalties.
And you should.
I will take a picture and I will post it on your Facebook page.
How dare you? I will tell you this. I have 6 nieces and nephews. I will not tell them what you said. I will tell you that right now.
I can't deal with the hatred.
Because I'll tell you, I think one of them has an iPhone because she's 11. So I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to save you that army. But that's fine. You're hilarious. I want to thank you so much for, being open to having a positive. There's so many positive stories about this breed, and, the media has vilified them for so long and has created this weird, this weird social message and these myths that people are like, I honestly got to tell you, I don't really blame people for going, don't pit bulls draw lock on people and don't they kill kids all the time? And it's like, I don't really blame people for thinking that because that's all that's reported. They're not the number one biting dog. At last I heard they were like 37 on the bite list. Doesn't even matter. The point is, any dog can bite if it's put in the wrong hands and it's irresponsible ownership. And this breed is the most targeted, most abused, tortured breed on the planet. So, I think a dog biting anyone anytime is tragic for both the person who's getting it and the dog, because it doesn't need to happen if you're responsible. It doesn't need to happen. So,
true. And you know yourself, good news doesn't make the news. You know what I mean? So it's one of those.
I know.
It's croc. So anyways, doll, we're running out of time. Rebecca, okay. Corey, I thank you so much for coming on. Once again, go up to Stand Up for Pits Foundation at centerforpits.us. Click on the 1 Million Pibble March and go ahead and join her on May 3rd from 12:30 to 2 p.m. Darling, it's been an absolute thrill talking with you. And like I said, Home of Victoria is now your home too, so please feel free to go ahead and come back anytime you want to get the word out, because we'd love to have you back.
Absolutely, and thanks so much for helping the breed out by giving them a positive shout-out.
Our pleasure, honey. Good luck on the 3rd, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks, all. You take care. Fantastic, Rebecca Corey. Yes, I will go out and buy a few copies of Big Fat Liar, and I will donate them to the Pitbull charity or Children's charity. I'll donate something anyways. I should have, anyways. Maybe I just wasn't in the mood for it. I don't know. I got to watch it again maybe. Anyways, thank you for listening to another edition of At Home with Victoria. I want to thank our guest tonight, Rebecca Corey. Always delightful to have her on. But for At Home with Victoria, I am Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host. Have a great night.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelly Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.